It is Tuesday morning. It is the morning show on People Powered KAXE. Thank you for your support. Our next conversation, we're learning about wildflowers in Minnesota, from prairies to the Northwoods, fens and bogs, ditches, abandoned mine pits. There are wildflowers most places that you look in Minnesota. There is a new book that is out, and from the University of Minnesota Press. It's called Chasing Wildflowers, An Adventurous Guide to Finding Minnesota's Native Flowers and Their Unique Habitats. It's written by Phyllis Root and photography by Kelly Povo. Phyllis and Kelly join us now. Good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
You are welcome.
I feel as though I'm among fellow travelers. I have explored some of these habitats, not all, but many, and have discovered many, many, many flowers that have always brought me great joy. And I can easily see how the two of you could have done the same thing, only you actually went at it in a very organized way, which is quite quite nice. I sort of am random. I'm like, oh, this looks like an interesting place. Maybe I'll walk here. So, yeah.
We're kind of both. We're kind of organized and random at times. Some of the things that are just surprises are so delightful. You didn't expect to meet them in the place that you're in.
Yes.
Like what, Phyllis? Give us an example.
Oh, let's see. Sometimes it's an orchid. You're walking along and you look down and you go, oh my gosh, that's an orchid. Kelly, what are some of our other surprises?
Well, just when we, like this last weekend, we ended up going into an area we hadn't been before and climbed up the top of the hill. And, you know, just like seeing things that we didn't, not that we didn't expect, but we were looking for violets and we didn't see a violet at all. And then, but we ended up seeing some trilliums, and we saw a May apple that was some of the tallest May apples we've ever seen.
Oh, my word.
I had to have Phyllis stand next to one because it was like hip high. It was amazing.
Wow.
Big white flowers that, because it was on a hill, Kelly could photograph it easily because, you know, those flowers are tucked under.
Right. Yes.
Big umbrella like leaves.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I have to add, I own 40 acres. It's an old lake bottom, so it's sand dunes kind of piled up in these rolling 10-foot hills, very sandy country. And one day I was riding my bike through there, and I rode past this stalk of white flowers, and I thought, whoa, wait, what's that? And I stopped, and I got off my bike, and I walked back, and I discovered my first patch of rattlesnake plantain. Downy rattlesnake plantain, and I was so thrilled. Well, then I found more, and then I found tessellated plantain.
Oh my God.
Yeah, on both in my 40, and I was just like, oh my God, this is so exciting. I share your excitement when you go places and you find things, and even though I hadn't gone anywhere, I really wasn't expecting to run into those plants, but when I did,
what a treasure to have. And, you know, one thing we've learned is that no matter how many times we've gone to a place, we think we've seen everything there is to see, but we go back because we love the places, and something new will surprise us that we never expected to see.
Yeah.
And that's fun, too.
Yeah. Well, your book is so excellent at taking people places. And some of the places, the beaches, for example, I have walked and looked for some of the holdovers from the colder days in along North Shore of Lake Superior, but the sandy beaches like down along Park Point, I haven't explored, but I have some friends who have, and those are real treasures. Tell us a little bit about that area.
Between the Minnesota side and the Wisconsin side, it's the longest freshwater sandbar in the world, is something that we've read. And we were there looking for, what was it, American beechgrass, Kelly?
Yeah, uh-huh. It's only found there in Minnesota and then on the East Coast.
But we found other things, again, we didn't expect. There was sand, there was a bush, and I'm trying to pull up
sand cherry, and it was in bloom, and there were so many bees on it. It was incredible. Just standing there, you could just hear the hum of the bees.
The air buzzed, and it was covered. It was, there's a picture in here somewhere of it, probably in the section on the North Shore.
Yeah.
In fact, I guarantee it. So, and then you can walk out through a scientific and natural area, which is one of the places we like to go to. And in fact, we walked way beyond it.
Yeah, we'd suggest bringing water when you go, because we ended up going, we always get carried away. And pretty soon it's been 2-3 hours since we left the car, you know, and no water, no snacks. We're like, oh no. But there are also some rare things out there. There's beech heather, which it lies low to the ground and has little yellow flowers, and it only blooms at like a certain time of the day, and then it's done, you know, like for an hour or something.
Wow.
But there's a lot of that out there too.
Whoa, very cool.
It's on the inside. It's not on the lake side so much. It's more on the inside of the park.
Isn't that funny how sometimes when you explore an area like that, there's such a remarkable difference one side of a hill to the other. Just astonishing. There's a science and natural area that's actually right across the bay from Heidi's house, and the north facing side of that is a northern mesic hardwood, and the south facing side is a southern mesic hardwood, and there are different plant communities on both sides, and it's really quite exciting to kind of wander back and forth.
yeah. And we're looking at ecotones, you know, where different places meet, but goat prairies down in the Driftless area, south facing side of a goat prairie is steep, it's dry, it's prairie. And the north facing side is woods with like showy orchis and rattlesnake plantain. And it's just, they're completely different habitats on the different side of the hill.
Yeah.
This is a great state. For all the different kinds of places.
I would heartily agree with that. We are so blessed with so many different biomes that we can visit. I've been down in the Southwest. I've been up in the Aspen Parklands. I've been all over the Northeast. I've even explored a little bit of the Big Woods south of the Twin Cities. It's everywhere I go. I tell people, you know, I don't need much. a quarter mile walk in the woods can take me hours because there's so many things to discover. I wanted to ask you, how did you gain the knowledge necessary to identify many of these plants that would escape me? I would walk by them and just see these little plants and be like, oh, that's kind of interesting. Unless it were in flower and I took the time to key it out. Where did the background come from?
Well, you know, in the beginning it was books. You know, I used to carry quite a few guidebooks with me.
Yeah, which one did, I have to ask, which one did you favor? Is there one in particular?
I'd have to go look on my bookshelf now to get the name. But a couple from the University of Minnesota Press that were specific Minnesota.
All right.
Land Wildflowers was one. There's really wonderful couple of orchid books.
I mean, Welby Smith is like the expert orchids, right? And so we always have that book in the car. We still have books in the car. We don't, you know, we don't carry them out. We always have a bag of books that we look at when we get back to the car.
I guess the one that I favor, that I find the handiest, is Newcomb's Wildflower Guide, especially if I don't know the plants. And it sort of gets me at least into the genera, if not the species. So it's a
that's
a good
one
book.
That keys it out, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I've never learned that method of doing it, but I think it's a great way to do it.
It does help eliminate a lot of flowers that, you know, if you're looking, some of the books, they just have a picture of the flower and you think, oh, five yellow petals, but you don't pay any attention to the arrangement of the leaf or whether it's entire or toothed or lobed. And so you get led astray sometimes. So I like the idea of having, needing to look at the plant in detail, which is obviously what you do because you get such great pictures. And I have to ask you, what kind of a camera do you photograph with?
I use a Nikon, a D750, and then I have a 105 lens. That's basically what I use is one lens, but I also have another a zoom lens, but that's it. I don't take a bunch of fancy equipment or anything. It's pretty, I keep it pretty simple.
Well,
because I like my pictures to have sort of the same look most of the time, you know, they have that, the same feel to them.
Yes, yes. And you do it well. I've taken thousands of pictures of flowers, and some are good and some are not.
Thank you.
I have to ask you, because I live in this area and I have marveled at this, but you have an epilogue where you talk about overburden and you talk about the plants that grow there and how it is a bit like being on the moon or on Mars or someplace out of this world, because they're just such strange locations. And the one thing that I noticed years ago when they were new, when the overburden was fairly new, is that birch colonized those hillsides. And you look at the seeds of a birch and you think, there's nothing there. How did that plant get up there and how did it grow there? How did it survive there? And that's just the beginning of that whole scene.
We had a friend who told us we could see some orchids on the overburden. He was doing a survey of it. And when we finally got up there, it took us a while to find the path up. We've never been so lost we don't find our way out again. But we have been a little misdirected, not by him, but
I wouldn't say it was a path. It was more like a rocky, hilly climb.
Well, the way we go now is a rocky, hilly thing. But remember, we went up on that long, winding ATV path. And we got to the top, and it really, and now we do. Now we climb a slope of rocks because it's quicker.
Yeah.
But it just was so different from anywhere we'd ever been. Anywhere, you know, red rock, red earth, not a whole lot of ground cover.
Yeah.
Lady slipper orchids, pine trees. And it just, trying to find out more about it was a challenge. You know, there wasn't a whole lot of literature about it. But just that idea that it's remaking itself.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
And I love that idea.
Yeah. I noticed you had a picture of the Case's lady's dresses. And that's a kind of a odd one. Did you find that up on top of the mines?
Well, that was the one that he was, told us that
right.
We could find. But yeah, and it likes a disturbed soil like that, that particular orchid. But really, I'd never thought we'd be able to find that. And it was amazing that it was there on the overburden.
Ah,
have been very fortunate that people have helped us in places, have shared what they know.
Always the case. You know, yes. I think that if anyone, any listener that wants to go out and explore for flowers, talk to somebody in the neighborhood. Find that person that knows a few things get a leg up. My first experience with Calypso orchids was because somebody said, go there and look there. And I went there and I looked and looked and looked and looked, and I was getting exhausted and I was about ready to set my camera bag down. And I looked down at my feet and I saw this little dot of white and I thought, whoop, what's that? And there I was. Man, just astonishing. Yeah. Really exciting. For those of us that are kind of flower nuts, it's really a thrill to be out and just to see what will be brought to your eyes.
That's a very lovely way to put it. Yeah.
Well, I thank you for this wonderful book, and I'm kind of pretty sure I'm going to hold on to this copy and use it and enjoy the photographs and the writing. It's just so well done, and it speaks so to my heart. I really am captured by the work that you've done and the good that you've brought. I mean, getting people outside and getting them looking at these kinds of things is really, really what I hope to do and what I hope you're trying to do. I think you are.
It definitely.
That's exactly what we're trying to do. We want people to know about them and then care about them and then work to protect them. It's all connected.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's another part of your book right at the very end. You have that little epilogue where you talk about if you're interested, and I like the way you sort of step it up. here's the simple. And then if you want to go a little further, here's the next. And if you want to go further than that, here's the next. And yeah, it's a wonderful book and well-written and well-photographed. I appreciate the work you've done and the work you are doing to introduce more Minnesotans to what is truly one of my all-time favorite reasons to be.
That's Phyllis Root and Kelly Povo. Their new book out from the University of Minnesota Press is Chasing Wildflowers, an adventurous guide to finding Minnesota's native flowers in their unique habitats. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you so much.
It was wonderful. If you ever get to Grand Rapids, get in touch with me. I would love to tag along.
Okay.
All right. We'll do that.
I appreciate you. Thank you.